Good morning. It is very good to be here with you today. I have been looking forward to this for quite a while. This is the first time I have been back in San Angelo, Texas since 1992. I was stationed here at Goodfellow Air Force Base when I was in the Air Force and did my training at tech school over here at Goodfellow. And then they transferred me to Hampton, Virginia to Langley Air Force Base. And so it's been a long time since we were here. I brought my wife Sherry with me on this. The last time we were here, we had no children, and now we've got a child who is a junior at Freed Hardeman University, and so we're kind of going back to the early days. We were in the newlywed stage when we were stationed here, so it's going to kind of be nice and neat to be here, and we're going to go out tomorrow and see some of the places we used to go, and very good to be here with y'all and visit with the good brethren here. I want to talk about something this Bible class hour that affects every person who is in this room. I want to talk this morning about the subject of lying. I read something several years ago that said that the average person lies 25 times a day. You believe that? Now, I'm not talking about Christians. I'm saying the average person, it says, hopefully a Christian doesn't lie 25 times a day, but it said the average person lies 25 times a day. And I thought about that, and I thought, that can't be right. Surely a person doesn't lie 25 times a day. Well, right about the time I read that, we had a new convert in the congregation, and we were just having a conversation, and he was telling me that they had an incident at supper, and someone called, and he answered the phone, and it was a telemarketer, and the telemarketer asked to speak to his wife, and he said, I just told him she's not here. And I got thinking about that. And I thought, you know, if you... how many little incidents come up in a day where people will say things like that? Maybe the average person does lie 25 times a day. Now, let me ask you this, by way of introduction, at what age do you think lying becomes a problem for people? What do you think? What's that? Okay. What's that? Two. I can't even talk at two, Rick. But I think the point is, it's very early, isn't it? It's one of the first things, maybe one of the first sins, if you wouldn't call it a sin at that age, but it's one of the first transgressions that people commit in their lives. Children lie. You know, we've got the old adage of a child being caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Adults lie. All the way up to the highest government officials, they will lie before Congress to try to avoid getting in trouble. And it's one of those sins that we think of, we think it's not that big a deal. You know, we think it's not going to hurt anyone. You know, this is one of those small things. In fact, we have a term for it, don't we? What do we call it? It's not a lie. Okay, it's a white lie. Not just a white lie. It's a little white lie. We really downplay it, don't we? It's small, it's little, and then it's white, it's not stained, it's pure, it's clean. It's a little white lie. We think of this as a very small, insignificant thing. Now, with that in mind, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 6. This is going to be the text from which we launch our study today. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. I want us to see what God says about this. We have our thinking. We've got our terminology, a little white lie. Let's see what God says. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Now, I want you to notice this, because in this list of seven things that God hates, two of them that are mentioned involve lying. What are the two? What's he mentioned, the two that involve lying? Lying tongue, that's the obvious one. What's the other one? False witness who speaks lies. And in essence, what God has given us is a top 10 list, or top 7 list, if you will, of the sins that he finds the most repulsive, the most despicable. Now, if we had such a thing as a sinometer or a sinometer, and you could put the worst sins at the top of the sinometer and the least sins at the bottom of the sinometer, what would you put it on the human scale? What would we put at the top of that list? Murder be at the top. What else would be near the top? Okay? Now, I'm just talking about how the average human thinks about this. Yeah, well, you know, I might say adultery used to be near the top, but it's kind of coming down, isn't it? I mean, people in our society just don't think a whole lot about adultery anymore. You can commit adultery and move on, and people are almost good with that. What else would be at the top? People are pretty disgusted by hypocrisy. Yeah. What's that? Child abuse, yes. Child abuse would be at the top. Rape, child abuse, murder, those would be at the top. On the human scale, where would we put lying? Be at the bottom, wouldn't it? Is there anything that we would put below lying? Probably not. We call it the little white lie because it's insignificant. It doesn't matter. Now, the reason I'm making this comparison, God has given us His synometer or His meter, and He has said, here's the top seven list of things that I find to be an abomination, that are repulsive to me, and in that list, two of them involve lying. Now, what does that tell you? What that tells me is that we're not thinking about this thing right. What it tells me is we're looking at it as something that's insignificant, it's not that big a deal, but if we're going to be right about these things, we have to look at them the way that God looks at them. And so, at the beginning of this study, I want you to have the mindset that we need to change our thinking. We've got to cultivate our thinking to make it match God's thinking, and that's going to be true of all the moral issues we're going to talk about this week, because sometimes we have a preconceived disposition about things because of the world we live in. We've just been taught this is not a big deal, this doesn't matter, and that's maybe been ingrained in us all of our lives, but we've got to look at these things the way God looks at these things. The Lord says, lying is sickening to me. A brother mentioned a moment ago, John 8:44, that the devil is the originator of the lie. God didn't create the lie, the devil did. Right? Let's talk about lying. Before we get any further, I want to define lying. Webster's Dictionary defines lying this way: to utter falsehood with an intention to deceive. Now listen to definition number two. To cause an incorrect impression or present a misleading appearance. Now, with that definition in mind, let me ask you this question. Can you tell a lie without actually saying the words? Yeah, you can do that, right? People can tell a lie. Sometimes people will bend over backwards to make you believe something that's not true, but without actually saying the words, and then they'll say, I didn't tell a lie. I didn't lie. Do y'all hear that? That's not just me, is it? Okay. And sometimes people will go to court, and they will play these little games. I'm going to have to stop that. All right, better. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sometimes people will go to court, and before they go to court, they'll meet with their lawyer so that they can figure out how to give a misleading appearance without actually telling a lie, without actually perjuring themselves. That's still a lie. If you intentionally cause people to believe something that's not true, well, we're talking about a lie. All right, 3 points we're going to cover as time allows this morning. Number one, we're going to talk about God and lying. Number two, we're going to talk about man and lying. And then number three, I want to ask the question, is it ever right to lie? Is there ever a circumstance in which God is okay with this? Is there ever a circumstance in which this is justified? All right, let's begin and talk about God and lying. Here's the first point I want you to get about God and lying, and that is the fact that the Bible teaches God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says about the Christian's eternal life, that God, who cannot lie, promised it before the world began. Now, what that means is when God says something, you can absolutely count on it, because He will not and He cannot lie. When God promised eternal life to the faithful, we can take confidence in that. We can rest assured that we will receive it. When God promises the unfaithful that they will receive everlasting punishment, again, we can count on that, and we can rest assured that the unfaithful will receive everlasting punishment. In fact, I had a person come to me one time, and he said, Don, I want to ask you a question. Member of the church. He said, let's say that there is a person who is, you know, he gave the old scenario of a foxhole, and here's some men in a foxhole, and someone throws a hand grenade, and it lands in the foxhole, and one man throws his body upon this hand grenade, and it blows up, and he saves his buddies. He said, in that scenario, he said, the man who throws his body on that hand grenade, let's say he's not a Christian. He said, but he has given his life for his friends, for his fellow soldiers. Could that man go to heaven anyway, even though he's not a Christian? And I said, no. And he said, what do you mean no? He said, don't you know that the Bible says that no greater love hath a mortal man than this to lay down his life for his friends? He said, are you telling me that a human being who shows the greatest love that a person could possibly show cannot go to heaven? I said, yeah. He said, how can you say that? I said, the reason I say that is because the Bible says God cannot lie. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, the Bible talks about the day the Lord is going to come again. And he says, first to those who are Christians, he says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. But then he goes on to describe the other group. He says, taking vengeance on those who know not God. Now listen to this. And who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He says to the faithful, I promise you're going to receive rest on that day. He says, but for those who do not obey the gospel, there will be everlasting punishment. Now, that is the promise of God. And if God does otherwise, if he takes a person who has not obeyed the gospel and says, well, I'm going to save them anyway because they save some other human beings, and I'm just going to ignore what I said, then God would be a liar. But the Bible says God cannot lie. Here's the second thing. Not only does the Bible say God cannot lie, but it says God hates lying. Proverbs 6:17, lying is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to God, but they who deal truly are his delight. God cannot lie. God hates lying. Number three, lying is contrary to the very nature of God. Now listen to this. The Bible teaches us that God is truth. When Christ was on this earth, do you remember what he said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Not only is God truth, his word is truth. The psalmist said, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. Psalm 33:4. John wrote, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. John 17:17. Psalm 31:5 calls God the God of truth. God cannot lie. God hates lying. It is contrary to the very nature of God himself. God, number four, forbids his children to lie. Under the Old Testament, Leviticus 19 and verse 11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. In fact, can you think of one of the Ten Commandments that dealt with the subject of lying? That's right. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20 and verse 16. Now somebody says, well, Don, those are Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Can you think of any New Testament passages that address the subject of lying? That's the one I was thinking of, Revelation 21:8. It tells us a list of people who are going to lose their soul eternally. And in the list, along with the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters, the Bible says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you know, there's another in the New Testament that's just very plain about this. And it's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible simply says, lie not to one another. Very, very plain. The Bible says, don't lie. God cannot lie. He hates lying. It's contrary to his nature. He forbids his children to lie. And here's the last point on this. Just the opposite of God. If I ask you, who is just the opposite of God, what would you say? Satan. Not a trick question. Satan. You've got God. The opposite of God is Satan. Now, the Bible says God cannot lie, but what does it tell us about the devil? He's the father of it. Listen to this. John 8:44 says that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is what you've got. Opposites. God cannot even do it. The devil is the father of it. He is the originator of it. In fact, one translation says when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. What does that mean? If you tell a lie, you're not getting it from God. It's not coming from any holy source. Anytime you tell a lie, you're getting it from the devil's resources. Now, that point ought to help us when we get to the last question, is it ever right to lie? If you ever do lie, you didn't get it from God. You didn't get it from holy resources. You got it from... We could stop right there. We know the answer to the third question, don't we? All right? Point number one is God and lying. Point number two, let's talk about man and lying for just a minute. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 13 and verse 5 that a righteous man hates lying. Now, I mentioned to you a moment ago, John 8:44, Satan is the father of the lie. I heard someone say on one occasion that a man is never more like the devil than when he's telling a lie. You think that's a true statement? I don't know. I pondered it a lot. It's certainly got a seed of truth to it. A man is never more like the devil than when he is telling a lie. Why? Because the devil's the father of it. When Jesus made that statement in John 8:44, he said to the Jews, "You are of your father the devil." Why did he say the devil was their father? Because they were acting like him. What were they doing? They were lying. They told a lie. He said, "You're like your daddy. The devil is your daddy." Why? Because you're acting like him. He is the father of lying. The Bible says a righteous man hates lying. But you know, lying is perhaps the most common of all sins. I mentioned to you this study says the average person lies 25 times a day. Can you think of any other sin that people commit 25 times a day? Is there another sin that people commit 25 times a day? I was teaching a Bible class one time on this subject, and I asked that question. I said, I cannot think of another sin that people commit 25 times a day. And way back from the back of the auditorium, someone shouted out, "Lusting." And I said, okay, you probably got me on that. You don't even have to be talking to a person to do that. You can do it from a distance. So there might be some others, but the point is, this one's high up there. It is a very, very common sin. It is a sin that plagues from the very young to the very old. It is a sin that I guess has plagued just about every person who has lived any length of time on this earth. But you know, there's a strange thing because lying seems to be a bigger problem for some people than for others. You know, some people have reached the point that lying is not a trap that they sometimes fall into, but rather it's a way of life. In fact, I've occasionally heard it said about a habitual liar that he will lie when telling the truth is easier. You ever known somebody like that? In fact, I've occasionally heard it said about some people, how do you know when so-and-so is lying? That's right, when his lips are moving. Have you ever known someone like that? Some people are like that. They do it all the time. It's just their lifestyle. Now, let's talk about this. As we discuss men lying, let's ask the question, why do men lie? Can you give me some of the reasons? And we're going to look at some scriptures to go along with this. What are some reasons that people tell lies? To cover up something else, to get themselves out of trouble. They've done something, and they've got to cover it up because they don't want to suffer the consequences. That is certainly one of the most common. This goes back to the person with their hand caught in the cookie jar. You know, you might see an adult lying to a police officer to get out of a speeding ticket. We see high government officials before Congress, and they're telling lies because they don't want to get into trouble, and they get into semantics and, you know, remember arguing the definition of what is because they don't want to suffer the consequences. What are some other reasons people tell lies? What's that? Did you say pride? Oh, yeah, pride is certainly one because people want to make themselves look better than they are. They want to exaggerate and sometimes even a person might lie to an employer to make themselves look better. You know, boost their resume, make themselves, to get some kind of gain out of it. People are going to lie about this. Sometimes people will lie to get money. Does that ever happen? Okay. What's that? Humorous? Okay. Certainly that would occur sometimes. How about this? Do you think a salesman ever tells a lie to a customer to make a sale? In fact, I was talking to someone one time and he told me, he said, "Don, a man can't make a living in the car business if he doesn't lie sometimes." Well, first, I don't believe that's true. Secondly, if it is true, you better get out of the car business because you can't go to heaven like that. But sometimes people will lie. How about this? You think people ever lie on their taxes? Keep money. I guarantee a lot of lies go on that are related to money. When I was living in Alabama, I don't remember how it is here in Texas, but in Alabama, if you buy a vehicle from someone, you then fill out the paperwork and you go to the courthouse and you pay your taxes based on whatever amount you paid. It wasn't based on the vehicle, it was based on the purchase price. And so I saw a guy on the side of the road. He had a truck for sale, and I stopped and talked to him and decided I wanted to buy his truck. And he wanted $3,000 for this old pickup truck. And I said, great, I'm going to buy it. And so we went to a notary and we're filling out the paperwork. And as we're filling it out, the notary was a buddy of his. He said, would you like me to write $2,000 on the paperwork? And I was just puzzled. And I said, why would you write $2,000 on the paperwork? And he said, to save you some taxes when you go pay for it. I said, okay. I said, I tell you what, if you want to sell it to me for $2,000, I would be happy to do that. If you're going to sell it to me for $3,000, then you write $3,000. You know why? My soul is more important to me than a few dollars in taxes. But that kind of thing happens all the time. Salesmen lie. People lie on their taxes. A man looking for a job might lie about his credentials. How about this? You think people ever call in and lie to their boss about being sick so they can take the day off? That sort of thing. And we've gotten in our society where we don't even bat an eye at that. I remember a country music song that came out a few years ago. I don't remember the song. I don't remember who sung it. But I remember one of the lines was something about, I don't have to be me till Monday. I called in sick to work. No, my back don't really hurt. I remember that line. And people do that. They're proud of it. Yeah, I'm supposed to be working today, but I called in and lied. Listen to this. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 21 and verse 6. You can group all those things. You can put the salesman in there. You can put the taxes in there. You can lie to your boss. But listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 21, 6 says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by them that seek after death. Now, that's pretty straightforward. This is not talking about physical death. Brethren, this is talking about eternal death. Let me paraphrase this for you. He is saying people who lie to get something, people who lie to get gain, are people who want to go to hell. When he says those who seek after death, to seek after it means I'm trying to get it. He is saying people who lie to get gain are people who are looking to go to hell. That is a very powerful statement that the Lord is making here. And it ought to make us stop and reevaluate this thing. It's not worth it to me to save a few bucks on my taxes if it's going to cost me eternally. People lie to get themselves out of trouble. People lie for pride. People lie to their boss. People lie to get gain. In fact, some people seem like they will lie for just about any reason. How about this? Sometimes people will lie to avoid hurting people's feelings. What do you think about that? Years ago, I was teaching a teenage class in Memphis, Tennessee, and we were talking about the subject of lying, and I was pointing out that it is always wrong to lie. And I had a young man in the class, I guess he was probably 17, 18, 19, he kind of scratched his head, and he said, you know, every Sunday morning my grandmother asked me, do I look good today? And he said, I just lie to her and say, yes, you look good, Grandma. And he said, what about that? I don't even know what to say to that. Here's the question, though. Would the Lord or did the Lord ever lie to avoid hurting people's feelings? He did not. He absolutely did not. You know how I know that? Because if he did, at that moment he would have ceased to be God. Because God cannot lie. The Lord never lied to avoid hurting people's feelings. Now, we've got this idea. It's not that big a deal. In fact, we've got the idea that if it spares someone pain, not only is it not bad, we think it's good. It's a noble thing. My all-time favorite show to watch on television is the Andy Griffith Show. I love that old show. It's funny. I love to watch Barney Fife on there. But even on that show, you've got Barney blundering something. He makes a mistake, and then what happens? Andy comes along, and he covers up for him, and he'll tell a lie. And we've kind of been accustomed in our society to think, well, that's a good thing. It's a noble thing. You do this because you love the person. You do this because he's your friend. Brethren, we need to realize lying is wrong. It is a transgression of the law of God. It doesn't matter. See, our problem is sometimes we begin to measure sin by how much consequence it has on this earth. We say, well, it doesn't hurt anybody. That's not the measure of sin. If we sit back and say, well, it didn't hurt. Well, this is a bad sin because this hurt a lot of people. You see, we're not measuring this thing right. We need to ask ourselves, is this a transgression of the law of God? That is the determination of what is right or wrong. 1 John 3:4, that sin is a transgression of the law. I remember the very first sermon that I ever preached a long time ago. I still have an old cassette tape of it. And I pulled it out one day and I listened to it. It was pathetic, absolutely terrible. In fact, I was absolutely embarrassed. I want to throw it away, and I thought, why did I ever try to preach another sermon after that? But the gist of the sermon was good. The sermon was entitled Little Things. And the idea of the sermon, I went through a number of things that we consider small. Lying was on the list, is why I thought about it. And we say this is small, it's not going to hurt anyone. But then you look at the passages and look at the eternal consequences of it. And the conclusion of the sermon was, in light of that, there are no little things. There are no little sins. Any sin that's going to cost me eternally is not little. That was the gist of the sermon. And that's the way we've got to look at this. Because the consequences of sin, the consequences of lying, are far beyond this life. And you know, too, you know what the nature of a lie is? Person tells a lie, what's going to happen to it? What's that? It's going to get bigger? Yes, that's the nature of the lie. It gets bigger. It grows. You tell one lie, and what's going to happen? You're going to tell another lie to cover it up. In fact, I heard someone make the statement that if a person is going to be a liar, he better be a person with a really good memory. Why is that? Because you've got to remember who you told this lie to and who you told that lie to. And to keep it all straight, you've got to be a smart guy. And you've got to have a good memory to keep all that. Just tell the truth. You don't have to worry about all that. Number one is God in lying. He hates it. He cannot do it. It is contrary to his nature. He forbids his children to do it. Just the opposite of God is Satan. Satan's the father of it. What about man and lying? The righteous man hates lying, the Bible says. Let's take the remaining minutes that we have and discuss the question, is it ever right to lie? What do we have, till like a quarter after? So we've got about 15 minutes. Let's talk about this question, is it ever right to lie? Now, in light of the material that we have talked about already, I think it's plain that God hates lying. Lying is something that Christians should never do, a Christian should never participate in. And so in light of that, I'm always shocked when I hear a Christian trying to defend lying. But amazingly, it happens quite often. And usually their argument consists of something like this. They'll have some very difficult circumstance that has some very serious undesirable consequence, and the person will suggest that in light of these very undesirable consequences, that lying is the better choice. And in fact, they would even suggest that God approves of lying under these circumstances. The second thing they will do, number one, is a really bad circumstance. Number two, they will appeal to the Bible. And they will look at stories and incidences and passages in the Bible that they believe imply that lying is okay. In fact, just a few years ago, I was doing a gospel meeting in the Nashville, Tennessee area. The first lesson in the gospel meeting was the one we're having right now, or similar to it. We were talking about lying. And afterwards, one of the brethren took me out to Applebee's or Old Charlie's or someplace like that, and we were eating, and he said, your lessons today were good. He said, but I've got to tell you, I've got a problem with that lesson on lying. He said, because sometimes lying is okay. He said, sometimes God approves of lying. And he said, let me explain this. And then he began to tell me about a situation in their area, a circumstance that was in their area that he believed justified lying. And he got vehement over this subject. And as we discussed it, he got very angry, and he would say something and I would answer it, and he would say something and I would answer it. It got to the point that he's yelling at me in Old Charlie's. He was so angry about this. But this is what he did. He began to tell me about a situation in his area where there was a group of men and they were breaking into houses and they were robbing people and they were committing rape. And he told me about a specific situation that I think was supposed to be a real one. The story went something like this. A grandfather was at home alone with his two granddaughters. He heard something downstairs, heard a noise. And so he told his granddaughters, I want you to hide, and I'm going to go downstairs and look. When he got downstairs, somebody knocked him to the ground and put a gun in his face and asked him the question, is there anybody else in the house? Now he asked me the question, what do you say? Under those circumstances. He said, if you tell the truth under those circumstances, then it's going to mean disaster for your granddaughters. He said, but if you lie, you may end up protecting them. And he argued that under these extreme circumstances, it would be right to lie and that God would even find this acceptable. What do you say? What's the answer to this? Brethren, admittedly, that is a terrible situation. And it is one that I hope that I never encounter. But listen to me. A wrong action does not turn into a right action because the consequences are severe. Let me say that again. A wrong action does not turn into a right action because the consequences are severe. Sin doesn't change into not being sin because the consequences are very serious. In fact, I asked the brother this. I said, let's alter the situation a little bit. I said, let's say that the man who broke into the house is a psychopath who just hates Christians. And he knocks you down and he puts a gun to your head and he says to you, I despise Christians with every bone in my body. Nothing pleases me more than to make a Christian suffer. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make your wife suffer. I'm going to make your granddaughter suffer. I want to know, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I said, what would you say? He said, I would never lie about my Lord. I said, why not? Now, I'm glad he wouldn't lie about his Lord. He said, this is his answer. He said, I would not lie about the Lord. He said, because under those circumstances, he said the consequences are not as bad as the sin. You know what he's done? You know what you call that? It's situation ethics. That's right. Situation ethics. Under one circumstance, he said, I can lie to protect human life, and that would be the right thing to do because this situation is so severe. In another situation, he said, I'm not going to lie to protect human life. He said, because what I would have to do is even worse. That's called situation. That's not Bible ethics. It is situation ethics. It puts the human being in the situation where he weighs it and says, this sin is worse, this one's not, and so I'm going to act accordingly. He said, I would never lie about my Lord. I said, why not? If God approves of you lying in order to avoid seeing your wife or your granddaughter suffer, then why not lie? He said, that denial would be worse than the consequences. Brethren, that is not Bible ethics. You know, Abraham pulled a stunt similar to this one time to try to protect human life, to try to protect his own life. He used the practice of lying. In Genesis chapter 20, Abraham lied to Abimelech. What did he say to him? What lie did Abraham tell to Abimelech in Genesis 20? Okay, he said, Sarah is my sister. Why did he tell that lie? Okay, because he was afraid he was going to kill him. Genesis 20 and verse 11 says this. Abraham says, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of Sarah, my wife. But despite the fact that he was lying to protect his own life, if you read that chapter, it is clear God did not approve of it. It was not acceptable behavior. Now, another scenario that someone threw out to me was this. He said, if lying is wrong, he said, then that would mean that the government can't lie. And he said, if the government can't lie, then that puts our spies in danger. It puts our intelligence programs in very serious jeopardy. Brethren, it is true that many governments tell lies. I know you are shocked to hear that. I know that is startling information to you. But that doesn't make it right, just because the government does it. You know, we have to remember this. The Bible says in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Now listen to the rest of this. Whatsoever is more than these, what does it say? Is from the evil one. Comes from the devil, is what he's saying. Does that apply just to individuals, or does it apply to the government? It applies to everybody. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Whatsoever is more, if you transgress that, you go further, it comes from the devil. I also know this, Proverbs 14:37 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And again, the consequences of sin do not transform it into being a non-sin. I read a quote one time, an unknown author, but I thought it was good. It said, always tell the truth, and if you can't tell the truth, don't lie. What's the point? Sometimes you just don't have to say anything. Sometimes you're in a situation where the best thing to do is don't answer, don't respond, but don't tell a lie. In this same context, somebody suggested to me, a brother in Christ who was arguing that lying is okay, here's the argument he made to me. He said, Don, the truth is so precious that sometimes it has to be protected by a bodyguard of lies. Now, brethren, I'm not trying to be ugly, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That is the devil's handiwork. The Bible doesn't say the truth is so precious that it has to be protected by a bodyguard of lies. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, don't ever give up holding on the truth. There is holding on to the truth. There is nothing so precious on this earth that you should cease walking in the paths of truth and travel in the paths of the devil. Now, sometimes people will make this argument. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, mercy, the principle of mercy overrides truth. That mercy is greater than truth. There are times, in order to uphold mercy, that we have to lie. Well, I think that makes me ask the question, if it's okay to lie because of mercy, are there other sins that could be justified by mercy? Could adultery ever be justified by mercy? Could homosexuality ever be justified by mercy? Could abortion, how about that? Could abortion ever be justified by mercy? Or could we have you ever heard the term mercy killings? Could we start practicing euthanasia and killing off people under the guise of mercy? How do you answer this argument when people say, because of mercy, sometimes we need to lie? You know, the Bible teaches that God is a God of mercy. Ephesians 2:4 says God is rich in mercy. And yet Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says God cannot lie. What's the point? These are not two things that are mutually exclusive. You can be rich in mercy, full of mercy. No one is more merciful than God. No one has more mercy than God. And yet He cannot lie. You can be full of mercy and always have appropriate mercy and never tell a lie. And I want you to consider this. Certainly, there was no one who was richer in mercy than our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, Jude in verse 21. And yet you never read about Jesus lying. Now, is it the case that sometimes we are faced with moral dilemmas that demand that we choose the lesser of two evils? That sometimes we have to lie because of mercy and we get faced with this dilemma and yet the Lord never was? Are we saying that we are sometimes faced with that but Jesus was never faced with that? Well, if that's the case, what do you do with Hebrews 4:15, that He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin? See, it doesn't work. Every argument that a person makes to try to justify lying, it does not work. And here's the thing. When the Lord walked on this earth, He was the perfect example for us to emulate. And we can concoct all the scenarios that we want to, but what it comes down to is this. What would the Lord do if He were in this scenario? And we know the answer. He would not lie. Because He said, I am the way and the truth. He said, I am the truth. And if He did tell a lie, He would cease to be God, because God cannot lie. He cannot do it. It's contrary to His nature. No matter what scenario, whether it be the man who puts a gun to your head and asks about your granddaughters, what would the Lord do? He wouldn't lie. Whether it's a person you're worried about hurting their feelings, what would the Lord do? He couldn't lie. He wouldn't lie. Whether it be the principle of mercy, no matter what scenario you concoct, the Lord would not lie. That really answers the question for us, doesn't it? I know we just have a few minutes here. And so I'm not going to have time to get into this. I wanted to cover some of the Bible arguments. What are some of the Bible arguments people sometimes go to, or Bible stories they go to try to justify lying? Rahab is certainly one. I want to mention to you that there is no justification for lying in the story of Rahab. I'm not going to go through it right now because of time. If you want to hear a thorough discussion, I had brought some books with me. There's a chapter in there about lying. We discussed Rahab. I think the books are out. We're going to order some more. The DVD I've done on lying also covers Rahab. What's another example in the Bible that people go to try to justify lying? The midwives. Yes, the Hebrew midwives, the Egyptian midwives and the Hebrews that were having children. Pharaoh said kill the babies and they lied about it and yet the Lord blessed them. Sometimes people will go to that situation to try to justify lying. Same thing. It is a twisted story that is not justification for lying. But I know I've got just a couple of minutes, so I want to do something very quickly before I run out of time. I want to very quickly give you some lessons, some points that will tell us that lying is always wrong. Number one, very, very fast, we need to remember right and wrong are not determined by earthly consequences. Because that's the way people try to justify this. They say if you lie, then something's going to happen that's really, really bad. Right and wrong are not determined by earthly consequences. Sometimes doing right is very costly. You remember Jesus told the rich young ruler, doing right is going to cost you everything. You remember the Apostle Paul was beaten and abused for doing that which is right. When I begin to determine right and wrong based on earthly consequences, I'm getting this all out of whack. That's the wrong way. 1 John 3:4, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of law. Number two, Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." I want you to appreciate with me that he says, "Be faithful unto death." He does not say, "Be faithful until death." Now, we oftentimes cite Revelation 2:10 in the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Certainly the principle is there, but that's not actually the teaching of Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10 is not saying be faithful for the rest of your life until you die. If you read Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he's talking about persecution Christians may face. He's saying some of you are going to be thrown into prison. Some of you are going to be abused. Some of you are going to have to suffer some really bad things, but be faithful even unto the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's what Revelation 2:10 is talking about. Now, how about people who will say, in order to protect your life, you can sin, you can tell a lie? He says, be faithful even unto the point of death. He says the opposite of that. Even if it does cost life, you be faithful. Point number three, Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Notice he doesn't say some liars. Notice he doesn't say all those except those who are put in really tough situations. Notice that he doesn't say all of those except those who lie to protect human life. Brethren, he says all liars. Number four, God cannot lie. Now reason with me through this. Am I over time already? Okay, a minute or two. The Bible says God cannot lie. I want you to reason through this. Can God do anything that is good? Yes. Is there any good thing that God cannot do? If lying were ever good, could God do it under those circumstances? Yes, you could put this in a logical syllogism and it would work. Lying, God can do anything good. He can do anything right. If lying were ever good or ever right, God could do it. But the Bible says God cannot do it, ever. What does that tell you about lying? It's not right, ever. It is never right under any circumstances. Number five, Satan is the source of lying. He is the father of it. The Bible says that when he tells a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, whatsoever is more than these, is from the evil one. And so when I tell a lie, the Bible teaches that the devil is my father. I am speaking from his bag of tricks, so to speak, because he is the source of it. And for a person to suggest that it's okay to lie sometimes, really, if you want to be practical, what they're saying is this. They're saying sometimes it's okay to stop following God and start following the devil. If you want to put it in plain terms, that's what they're saying. Brethren, I reject that with every ounce of my body. Here's the last point, and I'll stop. Number six, the Bible teaches that God will provide a way of escape. It was suggested to me one time by someone who was trying to defend lying. He said, "Don, sometimes you just have to choose the lesser of two evils." No, you don't. You don't have to choose the lesser of two evils. You know why? Because I remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What does the Bible say? The Lord does not say, sometimes you've just got to choose the lesser sin. The Lord says there will always be a way out that does not involve sin. I will always provide. He says God is faithful. He is faithful. You can count on that. There will always be a way out that does not involve sin. I am over time. Thank you for your participation and comments. I appreciate it so much.